The situation in the Persian Gulf escalated dramatically over the past 48 hours in ways that have serious structural implications for global energy markets, for U.S. alliance commitments in the region, and for the question of Iranian political succession. Let's lay out the sequence clearly. The U.S. set a Saturday deadline for Iran to publicly renounce attacks on shipping in the Strait of Hormuz. Tehran did not comply. The U.S. conducted new strikes. Iran then responded, not by hitting American assets directly, but by targeting Qatar, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates, all three of which host significant U.S. military infrastructure.
That targeting choice is worth pausing on, Marcus, because it reflects a deliberate Iranian strategic logic. By hitting Gulf Arab states rather than American forces directly, Iran is attempting to fracture the coalition, to create political pressure on Doha, Manama, and Abu Dhabi to distance themselves from U.S. operations. It's a classic strategy of attacking the support network rather than the principal adversary. Whether it works depends entirely on how much those governments fear Iranian retaliation versus how much they depend on American security guarantees.
And then there is the decision that analysts are still processing. The Trump administration explicitly barred Israel from participating in U.S. strikes on Iran. That is a remarkable diplomatic signal. On one reading, it reflects an attempt to keep the conflict from metastasizing into a broader regional war involving Israeli-Iranian direct confrontation. On another reading, it creates real friction with Jerusalem at a moment when Israel would ordinarily expect a seat at the table for any operation targeting its existential adversary.
There's a third dimension here that we can't overlook, and that's the internal Iranian power structure. Khamenei's burial featured a masked figure whose identity intelligence agencies have not confirmed. Iran's new supreme leader has issued public statements vowing revenge, and Trump has threatened to, in his words, decimate the country. But nobody outside the Iranian inner circle knows exactly who is making decisions in Tehran right now. That uncertainty is itself dangerous. When you don't have a clear counterpart to negotiate with or to deter, military escalation becomes harder to calibrate.
The experts quoted in the coverage this morning raised a related point about the succession question on the American side. Trump has apparently left standing orders to bomb Iran if he is assassinated. But analysts note, quite correctly, that no sitting president can legally bind a successor's military decisions. Vice President Vance, not Trump, would control any retaliation response if something happened to the president. That legal reality matters because it means adversaries who might be calculating based on Trump's stated threats need to factor in what a Vance administration would actually do, which is a genuinely different calculus.
The Strait of Hormuz dimension is where this becomes an economic story as well as a security story. Roughly 20% of the world's traded oil transits that strait. We're already seeing fuel prices surge at the pump despite falling crude oil prices. We'll get into the refining crunch in the business segment, but any sustained interdiction of shipping through Hormuz would send energy prices to levels that would genuinely stress the global economy. The U.S. Air Force announcement that it's buying 11,000 cruise missiles to rebuild stockpiles tells you something about the planning horizon the Pentagon is working with right now.
11,000 missiles is not a defensive procurement order. That's a stockpile rebuild that reflects lessons learned from how quickly munitions get expended in modern conflict, both from observing Ukraine and now from the Iran operations. The military-industrial implications are significant. That's a windfall for Raytheon, for Lockheed, for the defense contractors who build these systems. But it also signals that U.S. military planners are not expecting this to wrap up quickly.
The broader Gulf Arab response will be telling in the coming days. The UAE already warned Iran publicly before these latest strikes. Qatar hosts Al Udeid Air Base, which is central to U.S. air operations in the region. If those governments start making political noise about wanting the fighting to stop, even if they don't say it publicly, that creates a real constraint on American operational flexibility. Watch for any scheduled Gulf Cooperation Council meetings or emergency consultations. Those will be the early indicator of how Arab partners are processing their new status as Iranian missile targets.